either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah innallaha ma'as-sabirin sadaqallahul azim سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. Usually for the past few sessions in our program that is after Isha, we have been covering a very important topic, which is Wahi and Revelation. I actually wanted to continue with that topic. I had a few things in my mind. But then in Jumu'ah, we touched on the topic and we were looking into some very important actions that as an ummah, as a community, we need to take. And in Jumu'ah, sometimes you have limited time. And so I couldn't actually finish the topic. And I thought maybe tonight I can finish that. So inshallah we will then continue with our topic of revelation, wahi, in the next session. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with Iman and Islam. And there is no doubt that Islam is a religion of peace. And Islam is a religion that tolerates and accepts every other community that is there also. And in Jumu'ah, I did mention how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Suratul Hajj that protection is given to the monasteries, to the churches, to the synagogue. And you recall that when Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was given the key to Baytul Maqdis and the famous church that was there, and the priest out of respect said to him that, Hazrat, why don't you pray your salah here? And we know of this. He refused. He says, if I read my two rakats here, maybe tomorrow from the Muslim community somebody might think that this is a masjid. And so this is your place of worship and respect will be given to it. So alhamdulillah, Islam is a religion of peace. That is why every time when we see someone, we say assalamu alaikum. And salam means peace. And every time when we finish salah 5 times a day, we say assalamu alaikum. وَرَحْمَتُ اللَّهِ Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And this means that Ya Allah, give safety and peace and sukoon to everyone this side and to everyone on this side. So this is a general dua. So Islam is a religion of peace, no doubt. Now, what is very important is as Muslims, we need to look into this matter, that this individual who committed this crime, heinous crime, this terror, and he himself is a terrorist, no doubt, what motivated him to do this? this is something very important for us to understand. What motivated him to do this? To hate someone so much that, as the youth would say, that he as if was getting a buzz out of killing people. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And there is absolute no remorse. There are some Muslims who are so soft that if you give them a knife to make a chicken halal, they can't do it. Never mind, you know, harming anybody. But they can't even slaughter a chicken. Subhanallah. And here this man is on a mission. Whether a lady, a young child, man, woman, anybody, to him, if you're a Muslim, you're gone. Bas. Just shooting one way. What motivated him? The answer to this, my brothers, you will also know. Recently, there has been a lot of talk about the knife crime in UK. The stabbings that is taking place in the capital and elsewhere, everywhere. So much knife crime, people stabbing each other. That even the shops that are selling knives, they have been questioned. Because a lot of the people are now using this knife as a weapon. In some parts of the world, the gun has become an issue. Now this man, for him to have this gun, this semi-automatic rifle, he had the license for it. Two of the guns he was holding a license for it. So countries like America, you'll see that there is a great debate. And when you have this gun, it's easy for you to commit any crime. But wallahi lazeem, my respected brothers, more than the blade, in fact, should I say, sharper than the blade of a knife, sharper than the blade of a knife, more penetrating than the bullet that comes out from a gun, is the right-wing media, extreme right-wing media. This extremist ideology, this extremist narrative that is out there, this is the greatest danger, not for the Muslims only, but for all of humanity, for everyone. For everyone. Subhanallah al-Azim. And as Muslims, what we need to do, my respected brothers and elders, is we need to challenge this extreme ideology, this extremist narrative that comes out from certain individuals, groups of people. This is what we have to do. We have such a talent, alhamdulillah, amongst the ummah, great, great people. And one should not think, oh, what will happen if I do this, pennies make a pound. Subhanallah, your one step will take you so far. Your two rakats tahajjud will give you so much. Your effort is great. So one must have this love that I want to serve the deen of Islam, and we have an opportunity when we are living in this country. Alhamdulillah. Otherwise, anyway, you can pray 5 times a day. Anyway, you can pray 5 times a day in any part of the world. But alhamdulillah, here we can pray namaz, we can fulfill our obligation, but Allah has given us an opportunity that we can do much more. So inshallah ta'ala, in this session, I'm sure many of you will know this also, but also for the sisters, mothers that are at home, and alhamdulillah, if it comes from the masjid, the pulpit, it's very, very important. And I wish and I pray that in fact, This is the duty of every alim of the masjid, and the one who sits on the pulpit needs to speak out, because this then becomes a common theme, a standard message that is being given to the people, so we understand what is our haqq. We understand what is our haqq. So this man, first of all, I think it's not this one individual who has done this killing. It is not one individual who has done this killing. In fact, there are many, many people who share this man's crime and guna. Many people. And from amongst many of these people are the politicians. Their hands are also covered in blood. Journalists, newspapers, media, academics, and this entire team, not just this one individual. This one individual is just visible to us. But in the background, there are a group of people that have made this man into a monster. And they have used him. And so it's not one individual, it is a group of people. And alhamdulillah, this time, we were hoping that nobody will call him mental and nobody will call him just a loner. But then today when I was sitting and reading some of the newspaper articles, there were a few articles that started calling him the loner. And usually, you know, when a Muslim does it, he's always a terrorist. But if he's not a Muslim, then, you know, he's mentally ill. Lone wolf, loner, all these words that are used, ajeeb, subhanallah. So anyway, this man, he's intelligent enough to write a manifesto and to give it a title as replacement. So he writes this booklet, replacement, and in this booklet he writes that he wants to punish Muslims and immigrants for allegedly invading his soil. For allegedly invading his soil. Which soil are we talking about? Because he was not from New Zealand. He was from Australia. But he says, and so now he wants to take revenge. So he acquired Australian citizenship. Now as Muslims, we need to understand, my respected brothers, that in reality, this man himself was not an Australian. In Australia, the natives for thousands of years that lived in Australia were the Aborigines. Aborigines. So for people to think that, you know, Australia belongs to us, there were a total of 250,000 Aborigines in Australia. By 1920, there were only 60,000 Aborigines. Where did they disappear? And when James Cook arrived in Australia, he thought there's nobody there. It's free for us to take. So when we are talking to people, we have to be educated. We have to be educated. And you can't just say, oh, you know what, how shall I answer this person? Answer him to you to the best of ability. Answer him to the best of ability. A few days ago, I was downstairs and this brother tells me that Mauli Saab, you know, he's from Portugal. So he says, my daughter who's very young and she was wearing a scarf. So I went to the office. My daughter was with me. And so someone there, the lady said that, oh, my young, very beautiful girl, this scarf you are wearing, do you want to wear it or you don't want to wear it? So she's a child, you know, 4 years, 5 years. She said, no, I don't want to wear it. I don't want to wear it. But my father tells me to put it on. So she is saying, now go and tell your father what you told me. Go and tell your father. So I said to him, okay, Now you tell me, what did you do? What can I do? This was the best opportunity for you to give this lady some aqal, some da'wat to explain to her. Why are you shy from answering questions? Why? Have we not got the intelligence? So I said to him, you know what you could have answered to her? That if I am driving a car and if my daughter says to me that, you know, Abba Jan, I don't want to wear a seat belt, and if I force the seat belt upon her, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing anything wrong? But if a child says to you, I don't want to wear a seat belt, will you accept it? No. Number one. Number two, if you ask a child that, do you like your school homework? A lot of them will say, no. But what does the father do? Enforce. So as Muslim parents, from a young age, we are giving them that training so that when they grow up, they have modesty inside them. So we need to speak out. And until we don't challenge people, until we don't speak, speaking is not a crime, is it? It's not a hate speech. You are explaining and educating people. So this is something very, very important and lacking. MashaAllah. We've got talent here, talent. And this talent that we have, you will become more talented when you come regularly and listen to the dars and listen to what Allah and His Rasul are telling us. Because that is the real knowledge. So there were aborigines that were living there. So which country is he talking about? And subhanallah, you know who was the hero for this man? Who was the hero of this individual, this terrorist who committed this atrocity? Now imagine if somebody did something wrong, Allah save us, the Muslim community, we should not do anything that is going to break the law. But if somebody did something that is going to be breaking the law, and then they catch him, and then they say to him, right, why did you do this? And he might say, you know what, I was inspired by Maulana Muhammad Sindhi of Masjid Umar. What will happen to this Maulana Muhammad? All of you will be going at home, eating your food, relaxing, bus, enjoying, and that's it. But who will get picked up? Maulvi Muhammad. And the newspaper will say, cleric, radicalizing people. Cleric radicalizing people. These are the things you will see. All these things. But who is radicalizing this terrorist was Donald Trump. But can you say anything to Donald Trump? You can. You can. This man in his own manifesto is saying that Donald Trump is an iconic figure. What is he? He is the man. He is the man. Can you imagine that? But had it been someone doing something wrong and it would have been, you know, he might have a bayan that he is listening to, or he might be, you know, this might be his local masjid. Subhanallah. And you see the spin that people give and how it is portrayed. And it is so dangerous. And so if you look at Donald Trump, his former chief advisor is Steve Bannon. And he says, my favorite book is a book called Chief of Saints. Chief of Saints. What is this book? Now imagine the head of America, Mr. Trump, and his chief advisor. He is saying, my favorite book is titled The Chief of Saints. This is a racist book. It talks about brown immigrants invading and taking over France. This book is all about brown immigrants invading and taking over France. Now I'm saying all these things to you so that as Muslims we understand the bias, how everything is there, and what as Muslims we need to do, please. It is not enough that we just pray namaz. In fact, you will be rewarded more than your nafal prayers, even perhaps more than your tasbihat, if you are going to do something that will promote and enhance your deen, your religion. Or it will defend your religion. You will get more reward in them. And then in his manifesto, he says that the invaders are everywhere in Europe. Where are the invaders? Everywhere in Europe. But then he says, especially in France. Where are the invaders? Especially in France. Now, if you're talking about France, and you are implying our Algerian Muslim brothers in France that are so many, they are not invaders. They are not invaders. In fact, the French ruled Algeria for a century. For how many years? For a century. And you needed the Algerians to come to France after the World War, and these were the people who have built your capital. And these were the people, the Algerians, who had worked for you in the mines and in the factories. So what are we talking about that, you know, these people are invaders? What invaders? You had colonized them. You had colonized them, and you had colonized them in such a way that they even lost their mother tongue. Can you imagine? They could not speak Arabic. They can't speak. Instead of Arabic, they start speaking French. Ajib. And if he is talking, this terrorist, so my respected brothers, I'm just saying that we need to understand. If somebody is telling you that, okay, there are too many Indians, Asians in UK. In reality, honestly, sometimes because we're in Leicester, we think, you know, we are so many. But we are not. We are not at all. It's only because we are in Leicester, we think that, oh, mashallah, you know. Mashallah. You know, maybe just Bradford and a bit of Leicester here, Highfields, that's it. But when you go out, it's something else. So if it's Asians you're talking about, then of course, UK has colonized many, many countries, and one of them is also India. And when India was completely looted and completely, you know, everything was taken from India, then there was no choice for the Indians to go everywhere else. Yes. And they fought. They were allies in the World War. This is written everywhere. I don't want to talk about this. We know all this. And alhamdulillah, you'll find that the Asian community is a thriving community. Thriving community. I mean, many, many years ago, I remember I read a newspaper article, you know, something, that the Bangladeshi community is the highest taxpaying community. I remember that, reading it. So it's a thriving community. So people are boosting into the community. And if you are going to talk about the white people, look, I'm not being racist, but I have to explain. Alhamdulillah, in Islam, there is no such thing as racism. We know that in Australia, even the Europeans, when they were there, they are also immigrants. And also in Europe, they are all immigrants. And also in America, you read the history of the slaves and what happened to the red Indians in America. Even Donald Trump's wife is from Slovakia, or what? Is she? Yeah. And, you know, there was a scandal about his father-in-law and mother-in-law getting the American passport. Have you heard of that? And so we won't talk about that. So all of these issues that are there. Now, my respected brothers and elders, we need to understand that Islamophobia is £1 billion industry. It's very rich. Islam sells. That is why they come running. Can we interview you? Can we talk to you? Can we do this to you? So when they see something that is perhaps wrong, that is something they will put right on top. That is something they will put right on top. Now, we've heard of Rupert Murdoch, the billionaire. This terrorist was an Australian citizenship he had acquired. Rupert Murdoch was also Australian. Rupert Murdoch was also Australian. 59% of the newspapers in Australia he owns. How many? 59% of the newspapers. This man is so powerful, it is no wonder that 7 prime ministers have come in 10 years in Australia. 7 prime ministers in 10 years. Allahu Akbar. Very, very powerful. We talk about Brexit and all this, the influence, you see. And so 59% of the newspapers he owns, the 5 biggest newspapers, in the year 2017, we are talking about how these individuals can commit such a crime. Now, this is how they do it. Just in 1 year, 3,000 articles that referred to Islam and Muslims in different words. So every time Muslim was there or Islam was there, the words that were with this title was violence, extremism, terrorism, or radical. And that means there are 8 articles in the newspaper a day portraying Islam and Muslims negatively. How many? 8 articles a day. And I remember also myself, every time you are at the airport and you are flying somewhere, or you might be in the train somewhere traveling, every newspaper you see, it's got something to do with Islam. Everything, and sometimes you have to put your head down. From the 3,000 articles, 152 were on the front page. Can you imagine that? Look how people are working to demonize this Muslim community. 152 articles, front page, that is every second day. And that is why in 2016, 49% of Australians said that they want to ban Muslims coming to Australia. And when they did a research that, okay, you want to ban the Muslims, what do you know about Islam? 70% of the Australians don't know anything about Islam. It is just the hate that they see and read, and that is it. They don't want any Muslims. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And why is this happening, my respected brothers and elders? And I'm not sure about Australia or where, but now, mashallah, in any newspaper article, if we can challenge, and if 100, 200 complaints every day, daily are going, mashallah, and we take action. No, in fact, you know, 25,000 Muslims, where the Sun headquarters is, newspaper, outside, with banners, we will not accept this, we will not accept this. You'll see, the colors can change, put pressure on people. And then the newspaper writers in Australia, Andrew Bolt, he published a title, and people read his work, The Foreign Invasion, that was the title, which accused non-white immigrants, especially Muslims, of stealing their identity. And another article he wrote, he says, who can blame anti-Muslim vigilantes if they come up with guns against law-abiding Muslim citizens? So even if Muslims are law-abiding, but if you are going to gun them down, who can blame them? Now, 59% of the newspapers in Australia belong to who? This Rupert Murdoch. And you know of this man. And how many newspapers in 1 week do they sell? 17.3 million newspapers are sold. 17.3 million newspapers are sold. And this is how it works, my respected brothers. That is why even when this shooting was taking place, fresh, the Australian senator, the Khannas Frazier Annings, he said that these shootings are because of the Muslim immigrations and they need to get out. And he is a senator. He is a senator. Allahu Akbar. And have we challenged the newspapers that we read here in UK? Again, Rupert Murdoch owns The Sun. The Sun is the most popular newspaper in UK. Ajib, isn't that? So many people read The Sun newspaper. And the headings were, look at the headings. Britain goes halal. How is that? Look at the title. Britain goes halal. Allahu Akbar. Muslim schools ban our culture. Muslim school ban our culture. Muslims tell British to go to hell. Muslims are telling the British to go to hell. Now we can laugh. But that ordinary man who is reading this newspaper, slowly, slowly but surely his mind is changing. And that is where you get, you know, this ideology, white supremacist, and that we can't see and tolerate you people. Allahu Akbar. The Sun newspaper on the 23rd November 2015, front page title, 1 in 5 British Muslims sympathize with jihadis. Look at that title. And what happened to this title? Alhamdulillah, this was challenged. The independent media watchdog said this was completely misleading. This title was completely misleading. Another title, Muslims are silent on terror. What did Mr. Trump do? Did you see his tweet? In his tweet, he even forgot to sympathize with the Muslims. He did not even mention Muslims. Otherwise, he's the first one to speak out in, when it comes to any kind of terrorism. Any kind of terrorism. We will do this, we will do that, we will do that. Nothing. And so, Muslims silent on terror, what happened? Even the UK counter-terrorism officials have said that this was wrong. So my respected brothers and elders, we have a duty. And that duty is that we have to now challenge these extremist ideologies that are there. Challenge it. This is going to be a khidmat from us. Wherever you can, email and say this is wrong and this is wrong and put them in that position. And you will see, inshallah, by doing this, you are serving Allah and His Rasul. Now let us talk about the recent articles, the Daily Mirror. Can you imagine you wake up in the morning and you find out that 50 of your brothers have become shaheed, and the Daily Mirror has put a front article of the front page as this boy, angelic boy. What have they called this terrorist? Isn't that the case, Shabir bhai? Angelic boy. Angelic boy, imagine that. Why? To play with the mind. So that, you know, because obviously he's not a Muslim and he's a white man. So for that, let's put a bit of a soft tone to it. Angelic boy. You know, he was an angel and then slowly, obviously he drifted in the wrong direction. This can happen. And then a picture of his father who died in cancer holding this innocent angelic boy. And the very same newspaper, when it came to the Orlando nightclub shooting in 2016, the front page was ISIS maniac kills 50 in a club. ISIS maniac kills what? 50 in a club. These are the things that we have to read. These are the things that we have to make note of. The Daily Mail, how a blonde little boy turned into a far-right mass killer. Look at that. Look at the title. 50 people have been shaheed. And the title in the newspaper is how a blonde little boy turned into a far-right mass killer. And then the Courier Mail in Australia, here we go, gave a reason that he became twisted by severe addiction to violent video games. So the problem was that he was playing a lot of video games. So this had an impact effect on him and he turned out as a terrorist because of video games. And it's true in a way that, you know, as Muslims we have to take control, of course. Now, the ADL says, all we know is about Muslim terror, but the statistics tell us 3/4 of terrorism was carried out by far-right extremists. How many? 3/4. Of every terror is carried out by the far-right extremist. And only 1/4 is what they call, or there has there is something of an Islamic element to it. Something of an Islamic element to it. I say that because alhamdulillah, Islam does not allow any kind of terrorism. Islam does not allow that. And this was something that was also mentioned. This is ajeeb, that a study in a university that was carried out, it said that a Muslim extremist gets 4.5 times more coverage for a crime as compared to anyone else. A Muslim extremist gets 4.5 times more coverage for a crime as compared to anyone else. And then a study shows that a non-Muslim terrorist has to kill on average 7 people more than the Muslims to get equal coverage. This is their study in the university. That a non-Muslim terrorist, has to kill on average 7 people more than the Muslims to get equal coverage. This is what is happening to the Muslim community, that we are being demonized. We are being demonized. And so what we need to work for, my respected brothers, like how there is protection given to race, that you can't be a racist. You can't, you know, comment that this person is black, this person is white, this person is this, this, in a racial way. Like how when you look at anti-Semitism, it is protected. So what we have to do also, my respected brothers and elders, we have to make sure that we struggle and we put this in place, that Islamophobia should also be a crime. What is it? It should also be a crime. And we should never ever tolerate it. So my mothers and sisters that are listening at home, any hate speech, log it, record it. And if you get the time, if you have your mobile phone, record it. Record it. Record it. Everything that is happening, record it. And mashallah, you've got the right people that are around. Report this. Put a complaint forward. So it is logged and people understand what is happening. This is our duty, my respected brothers. Right now, more than any kind of war, this is the great war. This is the great fight. That we have to challenge people and we have to wake up. We can't be sleeping any longer, my respected brothers and elders. This is our duty. Even our masjids have to be protected. Very, very important. Allah save us. Especially our madrasa. Our madrasa, make it a habit that the parents take their children and bring the children and see the children going into the madrasa. And then pick up your children on time and park your cars properly. Park your cars properly. We have to have akhlaq. The problem is we haven't got akhlaq. How many times last time there was somebody who collapsed in the masjid? In the car park, even the ambulance could not come through because how we had parked our cars. What are we promoting, my respected brothers? What are we promoting? Allahu Akbar. Is this our akhlaq? Okay, you park your car there, then you be the first one to come out of namaz so you don't give taklif to anybody. But you will pray your nafal namaz, you will make your dua and you will come outside and say, oh Allah, I forgot. Is this your iman? Do you think that you got thawab? Do you think you got thawab? We don't value the akhlaq that is given to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ramadan is coming. Muslim children, I don't know, Wallahu alam. You'll see a lot of people don't pray Taraweeh, Evington Road, they're eating, drinking, sitting. And you see how people are driving and you see how people are parking and you see people are sleeping and so much disturbance. Allahu Akbar. This is not the akhlaq of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have to change. And we have to, alhamdulillah, adopt the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is a struggle. This is the jihad of the time, my respected brothers. That subhanallah, we've got so many people that are professional. Do a bit of khidmat. Do a bit of khidmat. Now, in the news, one khidmat was, you know, we praise this, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Are bhai, don't just praise the Prime Minister. Give Ummah her email, her address, contact details. Now it's there, I've seen today in Jummah, now it's going through. But we should do this, we should all be ready. Okay, you know what, this is what we do. This is what you write a letter, write a letter. Individually, everybody should be writing a letter. A lot of things that we can do, subhanallah. Even invite the police for them to come and see. Mashallah. We have the money, buy things for the hospital. Huh? Mashallah. Buy whatever they need. And let them know that this has been donated by the Muslim community of Leicester. Alhamdulillah. Show the people that we are out there to support, and alhamdulillah, we are well-wishers. And we have to be very, very careful. But this point is very, very important, my respected brothers. Do brothers agree? Yes. Do brothers agree? Don't you think that we should challenge the narrative? All the things that are happening is because they know we are getting no response from the Muslim community. No response. I don't even want to mention the name, but one of the parents was telling me that he is the only person to speak to the headmaster in a school there in which there are, how many, 180 students or something like that. So many. And he was the only one to have to put a complaint that, look, not a complaint, I want to know that what kind of education are you going to teach when it comes to relationship and sex education. I want to know what you will be teaching. And he was so happy, the headmaster, and he's saying majority of them are the Muslims, but nobody is coming forward. So we have to be active, brothers. Have to be active. And another thing we have to do, make salam to one another. What is it? When you come out from the masjid, when you enter, from the time you enter until you sit in the front saf, every Muslim you see, salam alaikum. What do you say? Salam alaikum. That is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't come quietly up the masjid as if, you know, somebody has beaten you up and eaten you up, and wallahu alam, the wife is going to do something to you, and, you know, as if people have been divorced and they just come gloomy and don't want to. Everybody must make salam. And how unity will come, I'll tell you why, because this is not me. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah's Nabi has said, when you stand up for salah, and if you are going to leave gaps in your salah, this will disunite you. What will it do? Disunite you. We are in the front here, but some people tell us that when you see there is so much space, that people don't want to fill the gaps. Make sure your rows are straight. There is discipline and there is no gaps between. And when you are going to stand in salah in that way, the barakat of it, Allah will open the doors of muhabbat for you. And that is why our ulama always say, afshu salam bainakum, make salam abundant. Why? This will open the doors of muhabbat. Open the doors of muhabbat. Today, we haven't got muhabbat because we don't make salam. Maaf. We make salam only to 2-3 people that we know. We must make salam everybody that is there. Salam alaikum, salam alaikum. Somebody is far, you greet him like that. Give him a hug. Subhanallah. Tell him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man, sahabi says, oh Nabi of Allah, you know, that man is very nice. You know, I have muhabbat for him. Huzur alayhi salam says, you have muhabbat for him? Have you told him that you love him? Have you told him that you love him? He said, no. Allah's Nabi said, he is your Muslim brother. Go and tell him that you love him for the pleasure of Allah. Subhanallah. Imagine you say that. Imagine. So these are the things, my respected brothers. Our safs have to be mashallah, disciplined. We park our cars properly. We don't disturb nobody. And when our sufuf are going to be straight, there will be unity. And we get into the habit of making salam. And 100% everyone, mashallah, is going to challenge any extreme ideology, any narrative they see, anyone saying in newspaper article, somebody is tweeting, he is in a professional capacity, challenge that person, write, put a complaint forward, we will not do this, and put it in your groups, put it in your groups, so more and more people will write. And this is your way of doing khidmat for Islam. What is it? Khidmat for Islam. Look, we have the technology. Let's not abuse it. Use the technology in the right way to promote the deen of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us barakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, just for a few minutes, brothers, if you can close your eyes and do muraqabah, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.